So glad you could be with us here this morning.
Welcome to worship, everyone. And in a minute, I'm going to have you stand up again and greet someone you don't know. We're in a series on connection. So we want you to connect with each other, even if it's in the dark. And maybe this morning, you know, I always say go greet somebody you don't know. If you can't see too well, it might be somebody you do know when you're trying to connect with somebody you don't know. So anyway, we're going to do that right now. Please get up, greet somebody you know or you don't know. Todd Misfeld, our seminary intern, is going to lead us now in prayer.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, let the worries of the day, worries about the week, just slide off of us, Lord. And we're so appreciative of who you are. You are the creator of the universe, of everything that is both seen and unseen. And we acknowledge your great love for us, that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And this is a sacrifice, Lord, we remember today with communion. And we acknowledge that even when you were here with Jesus, you are still with us here today with the Holy Spirit, who's among us now. You are so kind to us, Lord, so generous, so faithful. We don't deserve it. And we confess our sins, that we don't always act the way we should, the way we know we should. But we want to be close to you, Lord. For your grace, we are so grateful. And you shower us with blessings. And just individually, we each give our own little bit of thanks for what we're grateful for at this time. Lord, we know that you're among us and that you listen to our requests. And we ask your comfort now for the Pasquinelli family on the death of Lou. We thank you for the support that they received during Lou's illness. And we know that you continue to walk with them. Lord, we ask your prayers or your blessings on Judy Van Gassel's daughter for her recovery from her back surgery. We thank you for the recovery of Lorraine Mancebo. And we ask your blessings, too, on other events of this church, the upcoming boutique and the ministries that we have. But you're not the Lord just of this church, Lord, but of the world, too. We ask that you bless the refugees from Syria. Give them home. Give them a home. Give them peace. Raise up people in the countries where they're going to comfort them. Because you care for all of us. We pray, too, for the families of those killed in the Russian passenger plane who crashed in the Sinai. Give them comfort. We pray for those in this congregation who are looking for work, can't find a job. We ask that you provide. We pray for those among us who have health issues, that you place your hand on them, that your healing touch may be with them, and that if it's your will, Lord, that they be healed of their infirmities. We pray, too, for our shut-ins, for those who can't get here to worship with us. Give them your comfort. Give them a feeling of your continued presence and raise people up among us to visit them and give them companionship. Lord, we are so grateful for the children we have in this congregation, the children you bring to us in Crash Zone with Tuesdays Together. What a blessing. And we just pray that you show us how we can best share your love with them. And thank you, too, for the volunteers we have in this church, the people that get communion ready, the ushers, the elders. We are so blessed, and we thank you for that blessing. And bless, too, Lord, the leaders of this church. Give them patience, give them wisdom to know your will, what you would have us do on this corner. and not only the leaders, Lord, but you ask your blessings on all part of the body that is this church. However we serve in any function, be with us, Lord. Strengthen us. Let us see your Spirit. Let us be guided by your Spirit so we see the vision of your will. And now we profess the beliefs of the Christian Church as together we recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning. I'll be reading from the books of Ephesians and John. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And in the book of John, John 17, verses 20 to 23. So first from the book of Ephesians. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. And now from the book of John. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one.
Let us pray together. Blessed God, come and set our hearts on fire. May we be one in spirit and in truth, because of your word and the truth of your presence with us. Amen. We are in a series on being connected together as a church. These books are in the Welcome Center this morning for you to purchase. They're $7 each if you would like one. There's no adult ed going along with this, but I will be following it through the month of November. And I would just love it if you would follow along with me. It's kind of like a workbook text. So there's a lot of neat exercises in it. And of course, the point is our unity as Christians in the body of Christ. That theme unity keeps coming up. And I think I've spoken on it before in the last few weeks, but I think we just need to hear it again this morning. I wanted to ask you how many of you have more than one password. Put your hand in the air. More than one password. Okay. How many of you have three or more passwords? Wow, four or more? Oh, man, five? Okay, so what about 10? Who has more than? I give up. This is. We should do a contest to see who has the most. How many of you forget your passwords from time to time? Okay, just about everybody's hand went up on that one. I am constantly changing my password because I forget it. Because in order for a password to be secure, you have to add those little asterisks, right? And the little maybe exclamation points or whatever, or capitalized and small letters, and I can never remember exactly what I did. I can't remember what account, has this or that password. So all of us need passwords, but they need to be secure passwords, right? So that we don't get hacked into, our personal stuff doesn't get read, so that we keep ourselves secure from people who do that sort of thing. You want to know what the worst passwords of 2015 are? This is a great one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That takes a lot of creativity, you know. In the top 20, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And as a change of pace, there was also 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Yeah, who would have thought? The number two most dangerous password is this, the word password. Somebody actually... People actually write the word password for their password. You might as well just say, please, hacker, come steal my stuff, because I have no imagination whatsoever. And among the rest of the top 20 worst passwords were baseball, football, monkey, dragon, Mustang, Porsche, Firebird, and Rosebud. All right? So don't use any of those. But I got to thinking about the book Connected that we're reading, and about the threefold vision that our session and moving forward team came up with. We're connected to God, connected to one another here in the church, and then connected to the community. And we want to facilitate that moving forward. That's our vision as a church now. And I got to thinking about that. And then I got to thinking about Jesus' prayer right before he went to the cross. That's what Tim read this morning. You know, he's going to go to the cross. This is the last prayer, really, we get to eavesdrop in on in John 17. He's praying, and it could have been the prayer that he prayed in Gethsemane. You know, we're not sure, but we think John had maybe was with Jesus because he was one of his closest friends, and so he heard some of what Jesus prayed for. What does Jesus pray for us? Because right before what Tim read, is the phrase, I'm not praying for my disciples right now. I'm praying for those who come to know me through my disciples' words. That's us. In John 17, he's praying for the church, for all of us right now. I think that's kind of cool. And he could have prayed for a lot of things, right? He could have prayed for our financial security, right? Please help them to have all that they need. Or he could have prayed that, please help those who come to me through the disciples' word, help them to know Scripture really well. Help them to be prayer warriors. Help them to know how to pray. He doesn't pray, ask for any of that. You know what his prayer is? For unity. For unity, that they may be one, unified as we are one, Father, as you are in me and I am in you. May the church reflect that unity. How important unity is for the body of Christ. Why is it so important? Because when there are fractures, when there are resentments, when there are things that are unresolved in the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit can't move through the body the way that he wants to do it. It's so important. Unity is so important for the church. That way, when we're unified, we can love people easily and well as a body. Together, we move forward in a big vision to reach others with the love of Jesus. But when there's disunity, we can't do that. Now, I want, because we're in this series on connection, I want you to turn to the person next to you just for a minute and share a time when you've been in a situation where working together with others in unity was a necessity, not an option. Now let me just explain that. You might be on a medical team where you have to work with other people who are different from you or might have different perspectives on you to save a life. Or you might be flying a plane. You have to work with the co-pilot. Or you might be working together with someone to lift something that's too heavy for you to lift on your own. You have to work with those people, you know, or the couch is going to fall on you. All right? So turn to the person next to you and just talk about that. Just for a minute. Go ahead. Okay, got it all figured out. Okay, I'm always scared to do this because I always hate to break you up, but the point is here, the point that I hope that you have come to, folks, the point is that when there's a bigger purpose involved, the differences sort of disappear, right? And we experience unity as we work together for a larger goal. And that's why the enemy does not want us to be unified as the body of Christ. See, I believe that so often in the church we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual battle. And division and dissent is Satan's MO. He just loves it. And I was thinking about passwords and computer hackers, like I started out telling you about. And I got to think about how the enemy would so like to hack into our unity here. And then I got to thinking, how would he do it? What ways would he find to steal away our connection with one another in the body of Christ? And Rainer in the book lists three things. The first one is gossip. And he says, gossip is talking about someone behind their back saying things about them to someone else that you would not say about them if they were in the room present with you. Now, I don't know about you, but people have talked about me behind my back at times during my life. And, you know, I'm sure you've had that maybe experience too. And when you find out about it, you just feel terrible, don't you? There's kind of a feeling in the pit of your stomach. And you think, they don't even know what they're talking about. That's the wrong story. It's distorted or whatever. It's not even true. And you just feel terrible. Why would we want to make anybody else feel that way by talking about them behind their back? So if our spiritual password or spiritual passphrase is talk randomly about anything you feel like, all right, the enemy's going to not have any problem hacking in there and causing our tongues to rattle off things about other people that we should not be saying, whether we do it innocently or with hostile intent. Our spiritual passwords or passphrases, they have to be stronger than that. They have to be something like, I will use my tongue only to encourage and speak well of others, never to put them down. You'd almost think to yourself, maybe every time I want to talk about somebody, it's that I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to say something positive about them. Because I think we all need a little encouragement, right? And how wonderful to hear that somebody was talking encouraging words about you, right? The negative ones put you down. So if you choose this password phrase, our unity can't be hacked. What's another way the enemy can hack into our unity in the church? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is huge. It's such a big issue in so many churches. You know, we harbor grudges against each other. We might be nice to each other on the surface, but deep down we hold things against people. If we've been here for a while, maybe over the years, we pigeonholed folks sort of as this one's annoying or this one's out to lunch or this one's irresponsible or whatever. And when we see people through these lenses, we simply don't give them another chance or give ourselves the ability to see them for their strengths and the goodness that is there. There's always good in everyone. If your spiritual password is, I will never let go of my resentments, the evil one, our hacker, is right there to steal our unity in Christ. If, however, your spiritual password happens to be a bit stronger than that, maybe it's, I need forgiveness just as much as the next person, the hacker has a harder time of it. Better yet, What if, because we're so caught up in the mission of connecting to God and people, that we don't even notice when someone does us wrong? What about that? Maybe the best password to keep the hacker away, the most secure password is, huh? In other words, if you wronged me and I didn't notice because I was very busy doing the work of the kingdom, but if you did, you're already forgiven in Jesus' name. I'm not going to stir in my juices about this one. We're all flawed, as is, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. Right now, though, the need is too great out there to talk about this anymore. Take my hand. You're already forgiven. Let's go serve the world together. Bigger cause. Think about it. The word forgiven means given ahead of time. Forgiven. So before we ask, God has already forgiven us. God longs to forgive. It's his nature to do it. He likes to do it. So we should forgive one another. Raynor talks about that fateful day, 9/11, in the year 2001. He says that the words, "Let's roll," became the rallying cry of our nation in one of its darkest hours. And travelers from different backgrounds, races, and age groups set aside their differences and bonded together for a common mission. They selflessly disregarded differences that normally would have separated them and instead worked as one to get the job done. And Raynor says, what if the church operated with the same courage and resolve? We wouldn't have time for unforgiveness, for resentments, and for divisions. We would be unified in our goal and purpose. We'd call out, let's roll to make Christ known. And we'd work together despite our differences. The third and final way the enemy hacks into our unity is to blind us to our own contributions to any disunity that may be going on, which would be confession. Lack of confession, lack of humility, lack of recognizing our own contributions to disunity. So if our password is, I am perfect, the hacker gets in. I told Tim when we were first married that I was perfect, and I apologize for that. Right now, I'm going to act out the confession right now. I've apologized for that before, earlier. Just so you know, this wasn't a moment. Well, it kind of is, though, because it's public. Anyway. But a stronger password would be, I am a sinner and I need to confess. Confession is a good thing when we do it with God, and confession to one another is also a good thing. So we confess to God, but there's great power in confessing to one another. Confess your sins to one another, the scripture says, so you can be healed. There's something so wonderful about hearing the person say back to you, you're forgiven, I forgive you. There's something about that, hearing those words come back when we confess to somebody, that heals our heart. On the surface, human interaction can be intensely shallow. Ever notice that? Ask someone how he or she is doing and outpours the numb and rehearsed response, I'm all right. This may be true on the surface, but doubtful underneath. It is no wonder that Richard Foster says that superficiality is the curse of this age. It ruins people. It robs communal beings of true community. To hack into unity, the enemy would love it if we all stayed real shallow here at West Valley Presbyterian Church and never become real, never showed anyone our true selves, but kept it all well hidden. Stay very proper. Confession, however, in its raw, transparent honesty, restores community with God and with one another. Confession stands in blatant opposition to superficiality. Henry Nouwen says confession and forgiveness are the concrete forms in which we sinful people love one another. What makes this love difficult is something Foster points out, saying confession is difficult, is a difficult discipline for us because we all too often view the believing community as a fellowship of saints before we see it as a fellowship of sinners. So I remind you that as we come before this table today, we come as sinners. As flawed individuals, we've come as people who need to confess to God and to one another our shortcomings, where we've fallen, and also confess perhaps that we aren't okay. Friends, God will meet you at this table this morning, no matter where you are, if you confess honestly where you are before him, if you're honest and open with him. God loves our honesty, not our pretense. So this morning, as we take this table in, let's not be superficial Let's not be superficial. Let's make this a genuine experience right now and be honest before God right now. Let's honestly show up here at this table this morning. When we show up honestly, transparently, God shows up. I don't want this to be perfunctory. I don't want this to be just an exercise. I want us to show up honestly, openly, and confess where we are. God will meet you wherever you are. If you're discouraged this morning, if you're at your lowest ebb, confess that to Him. If your faith is wavering today, let that be known. Let that be your prayer. God will meet you there. God will even meet you if you are struggling in a relationship. God will meet you now if you confess that you're sad or even disappointed that a prayer you prayed wasn't answered and you don't understand where God is. Maybe you made a wrong choice and you need to confess what you did or you didn't do. Maybe there's someone you just can't forgive and you're thinking, I need to forgive this person. I can't forgive him. Let God know that. Tell God about it. God will meet you there. God will meet you now if you confess your inability to pray. I'm having such a hard time praying, Lord. Tell him that. Maybe you've been hurt by the church in the past and you just can't get beyond it. Let God know. God will meet you wherever you are. He will forgive and restore and renew your heart. It's God's nature to want to forgive us. As I said, that is the good news. He loves to do it. He loves to meet us when we honestly come to Him and let Him know where we are. This table is called a communion table, which means we are a forgiven community unified not by our good works and perfection, but unified as sinful, weak human beings by the forgiveness and mercy of Jesus Christ, who has forgiven us all when we confess to Him. That forgiveness, folks, no hacker can ever destroy. You can stake your life on it because Jesus gave His life for it. So I'd like to ask that we spend a few moments in prayer together, showing up, confessing deeply and honestly before God, letting Him know the true state of our hearts right now. Just show up. And then I will pray for the elements and for us all. Would you pray together? Lord, we are grateful people this morning. Thank You that You meet us in our weakness when we show up honestly. Thank You that You've heard the prayers in this room. Thank You for this table laid out for us that reminds us of Your life given in totality for us so we could be forgiven and restored in our relationship with You. Thank You for that. Thank You for becoming vulnerable for our sakes. You wanted it that badly for us to be able to connect to You and to each other. Lord, bless our church. May we be unified as we experience Your forgiveness. May we share it with others. And may we be about the business of spreading Your love to one another and to a hurting world. Help us to be able to do that, Lord. And as we take these elements of bread and juice, set them aside from a common to a sacred use. Thank You for Your mercy and grace. And may we be aware of this as we literally take You in. Bless this time now. Thank You for Your love. Amen. On the night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, and He said, "Take, eat. This is My body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of Me." The same way after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, or the New Covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again. So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. All who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to participate. Friends, these are the gifts of God, his very life given for you, the people of God. Take and eat honestly, with transparency. Take and eat gratefully. You are forgiven. We hold the cup as a symbol of our unity in Christ. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us drink together. Amen. Praise God for the love of Jesus, poured out his life, loves us, forgives us when we confess, and is here to bring us unity and blessing as a church. Go out and know that you don't go out alone. Go out and know that God will never leave you or forsake you. Go out and know that his promises are true and new every morning. Go out in peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.